He said, I tried it all when I was young and in my natural prime. Now it's old dogs and children and watermelon wine. Old dogs care about you even when you...
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show here on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday. The guest of honor here for today's program, Leader Livingston in the Senate put this together about 9 years now, but House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter joins us. Speaker, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Good morning. Glad to have you in DeKalb County. Yeah. Always a pleasure for you to be here.
Well, this is the first broadcast from we're not live, but this will be broadcast later. Let me start here with this. Well, tell us a little bit how this came to be, this breakfast you do every 4th of July. I knew about it when I was on the air in Huntsville. I just never got to make it here. I finally last year made it up here, but now here we are doing a radio show.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you being here. We started out, I guess, it's 10 years ago. We just, some friends had got together at a little cabin here in DeKalb County and had more people in it than we could hold. So we thought, well, you know, maybe we need to move it somewhere else because people wanted to do it every year. So we come to Henniger where they had the 4th of July celebration and we're able to be part of it and start out in the morning with a breakfast. I was kidding them this morning. I remember very well, me and Central Livingston started it in the first year we had it here at the Henniger Park. About the time everybody got here, we probably had the coffee ready. So that's about it. We didn't have anything. So we certainly got some great help and people that do it. Last year we fed over 300 people, and I suspect more people was here than that. That's just how many that, you know, got the plates. We were able to know by the number of plates it was we used. So it's turned into a great event. Look forward to it every year, and it's kind of like I told them this morning, that it's a blessing to me, it really is, to see that many friends and people that live in the community. It's a really pretty neat.
Well, it's become like kind of a who's who thing in politics to come in, like, you know, and I expect next year this will be much more crowded on it.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And we've certainly have got people today from all over the state. Certainly, Lieutenant Governor hadn't missed one. Of course, Will and I have been friends for years, and I'm glad him and his family come each year. And so they're going to be in the parade throwing out candy, I think. So, and I think Jack Williams from Mobile's here. And we got a lot of our representatives are here. And this just continues to grow. Secretary of State's here. And Wes is a good friend, served with him, as you know, in the House. And always good to see him here.
Well, it's a cool event. And I'm glad you do something like this. 4th of July, but kind of marrying the two. I mean, it's our system, right? It's politics is inherently part of the American system. And I mean, not that this is a political event, it's more of a fellowship kind of thing, but there's some political overtones here.
Well, sure there is. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, I guess, and Scott had mentioned this morning, it's kind of like old-timey politics. It's kind of like stump speeches and things like that, just on the picnic grounds and having everybody here for breakfast before the festivities get started. So, yeah, I'd say this is more like an old-timey country political event. If
they don't do a lot of these anymore.
No, it's a thing of the past, you know. And the thing about it is, I'm kind of excited to see ours grow like it has. I mean, we had set up tents outside last year and have got them set up this year, and they added on to the building. This is a new part we're in because we they needed the space, and, you know, having the event here kind of allowed them to do that. And so, you know, we're excited about it. It's something that we look forward to, and we got a great group of people that cook all the food, and they show up here at 5:00 in the morning on the 4th of July, and they could be anywhere in the world doing whatever they want to do with their families or whatever, but they choose to be here.
Well, let's get into the politics of the day. Federal politics, national politics right now is, what do you make of what's going on, especially, you know, with an election coming up in November?
Well, you know, it's interesting, especially after the debate the other night. I mean, you know, it questions Biden's ability to lead. And I think Trump did an outstanding job. Of course, I'm probably biased in that, and I'm okay with that. But the thing about it is, to me, it just makes me wonder if there wasn't more planning to this because I'm having it that early. So you almost wonder if they did it intentionally to try to put somebody else to fill his shoes. And I know I'm not a conspiracist by no means, but it's awful coincidental. And now it seems like the drum beat is getting louder and louder.
It's just not something out of the realm of possibilities out of thin air. There's at least a possibility, you know?
I think so. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, if it's not possible, why are so many names being thrown out that might take the spot? So, I know they got August is coming pretty quick, and I know that's when that convention is, but I feel good about Trump's chances. I think he's in a good position regardless of who it is, if it's Biden or if they put a surrogate in. I feel like he's going to do fine. As a matter of fact, I think he's going to be the president again, and we need him. I mean, for what's going on with inflation and things that's happening around the country, we need that type of leadership back in the White House.
Well, let's move it back to the state of Alabama real quick. And you and I talked a couple of weeks ago about gambling and all that, but I guess looking ahead, and you've accomplished some big things so far this quadrennium. This is the halfway point. I know ethics is still out there. What do you think the next 2 years really look like? I mean, the fourth year of a quadrennium is kind of you get in early, get the budgets done, and people go back to their districts. But next year will be, I guess, the consequential year of this quadrennium that's left.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot. I think we'll see a lot of positive legislation. We had some bills, that passed out of the House last year that I hope we can get through the Senate. What Is a Woman being one of them, the library bill being the other one that Arnold Mooney had. So we got some of those things I think we need to finish up. And I think Matt's worked too hard just to let the ethics thing go. I think we need to give him a chance to see what we can work out. I know the workman's compensation for teachers. I know Sam has worked on that really hard, Sam Levan, and we look forward to working with him to get something done with that. But there's a lot of, believe it, at my house, I have got a sheet of notebook or a notebook beside my recliner, and I've got a list of items that's on it. And every time something comes up, I just write it down so I can remember what we're going to be doing and looking at. So I'm excited about it. I think we've had two really good sessions. I feel blessed to be the speaker and honored that the members put me in that position. And I feel like that over the last 2 years, we've passed a lot of good legislation.
Well, and looking at your leadership here, I mean, it was different than your predecessor, Mike McCutcheon, but, things definitely feel a little more structured. Everything starts on time. And the thing that, you really see the biggest difference, some of the vote totals you're accumulating, I mean, y'all work together as a body, it seems, very well.
Yeah, one thing, I think it's important. It's important to me when I come in as a freshman. It's important, I think, for our members and also for everybody that's in the body, is to try to give them as much information as we can. If it's a tough issue, if it's a hard issue, regardless of what it is, try to give them as much information as they possibly can get. And I think that helps. I think that helps us with the votes. I think letting both sides and working on both sides of the aisle helps us. And, we're not going to agree on everything. I mean, that's just the way it is, but I think we can work together for the common good for the state.
Yeah, well, and the other thing about your leadership role, Speaker, now, DeKalb County, it's the very north corner, northeastern corner of the state, but what's the learning curve been like kind of getting around the state? I mean, you're on a Mobile radio show right now. Understanding how this whole state kind of comes together, I always talk about it like this: it's tribal, but once you figure it out, it fits together like a jigsaw puzzle.
It really does. I mean, we were in Baldwin County last week and Mobile County, just come back from there, and I spent a lot of time down there through the year and travel all over the state, like you said. The thing with me is I wish that people could see what I see and see the drive that people of this state have to be successful in business or to be successful in their whatever they're doing for their community and for their surrounding area, because it is different. I was in Mobile last week with Chip Brown, and we were talking about everything down there and the culture and what it is based on what the culture is here in North Alabama. So it's refreshing to see that Alabamians are working hard are to be successful in your community and be successful in business and their churches. But getting to see that firsthand and hearing the stories of people that really come up from the shoe straps to be successful in whatever venture they're in, it's really pretty neat.
Well, and I tell you, like, historically, Mobile feels like it's like a red-headed stepchild. So does the Shoals or Dothan or wherever. And what do you say to those people that feel like they're just, I'm sure even in this part of the state feel that way sometimes about Montgomery, because Montgomery just seems so far away to people.
No, you're 100% right. We complain here because we don't get enough road money.
But it's true everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it's everywhere. And everybody, and I think that's a good thing because everybody fights for their area. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And certainly, you know, I know Chairman Reynolds is here this morning, and Chairman Garrett, when they look at their budgets, they try to make sure that they spread that as fairly as they possibly can. But sometimes you always would like to do a little better for your certain district. So I think that's just human nature.
Well, tell me this then. The other thing looking forward, I guess we need to talk about, because it is the state issue. Everyone is, it's just a situation in Montgomery, the city there, the crime there. And I saw a picture the other day of shattered glass from a bullet hole in a government building, one of those green rooftops. I mean, like, that's getting close to home, right? I mean, from a state approach, I mean, how concerned are you? What do you think needs to happen?
Yeah, I talked about it, I think, last time I was on your show, and there's certainly something needs to happen, and there's conversation going on. And I had met with a delegation from Mobile in Jefferson County during session last year because of it, and we did two or three things that we thought would help around the edges. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're half of the police force, I mean, it's pretty simple to me. You got to get feet on the ground. I mean, you know, when they're down by over 200 police officers in Montgomery, I think I just read that this week, Jeff. And I think they're down that many in Birmingham. I know it's hard to hire police officers now. I get it. But I do think that makes a difference. I mean, being visible, being out there, being able to have people in the streets makes a ton of difference. And I think they got to continue to do that. And if there's anything we can do, you know, we want to help, but there's got to be something.
Well, last question, we'll wrap it up on this. On Capital Journal a couple of weeks ago, Daryl Bailey, who's the DA in Montgomery County, was like, well, the legislature, he put some of the onus on the legislature. Obviously, it was like parenting and the backup in the judiciary, but it wasn't the usual, like, it's constitutional carry. It was this. It was like, do we need to have higher penalties for gun crimes in this state? I mean, that presents the other problem. Where do you put all these people? But, like, is that a deterrent that would really be effective in this scenario?
Yeah, I think anything we can do and look at is a possibility. You know, we've done that with fentanyl. You know, I don't know how much it's really helped. You know, you see all the crimes and what's going on with it now, but I'm open. And certainly it will be, you know, this is my thing from the standpoint of whether it's Jefferson County or whether it's in Montgomery or Mobile or whatever the crime rate is, you know, the people in those positions have got to take responsibility. And I have seen firsthand in news reports and everybody else where some of the leadership wants to blame everybody else.
Right.
And I think there comes a time when you got to stand up and you got to be a leader and you got to take responsibility for what's going on.
Well, it is it's perilous times. I mean, and you know, but the other problem is with this, and this will be the last question. If you impose rules for a place where, because we were just talking about it, everything's not the same.
That's right.
It's very tribal. If you try to impose like a one-size-fits-all state solution to something that's very Montgomery-centric or Birmingham-centric or wherever the problem may be, I mean, is that the right approach? Do you need the same kind of, like, governance or the same kind of policy applied to, like, Scottsboro or wherever that you would Montgomery?
No, you're 100% right. I think you got to look at that. And you're 100% right. I mean, I can tell you right now, you can park your car where we're sitting right here and leave it for a week unlocked with anything you want to leave in it. And when you come back, it's going to be in it. I mean, it's totally different in different parts of the state. And I think the more rural areas, we don't see as much crime based on population as much as anything. But, no, you're 100% right. We need to make sure we do our due diligence and we do the right thing when we're trying to address it.
Speaker, you're always very kind. You've been good to this program over the years when you were a leader. But thanks for coming by. Thanks for having us today.
Hey, thanks for being here. You know, I told Scott this morning that when you show up once, you guys show up every year. So we look forward to seeing you back next year.
Run for office. Or yeah.
That's right.
House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter. Thanks again, Speaker.
Thank you.